Inside Hogwarts, a Harry Potter podcast made by kids for kids. I'm Daisy.
And I'm Vaughn.
And today we're talking about Chapter 7 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, the Ministry of Magic. So before we get started, Vaughn and I, at our house, we have a dog. A new dog. Well, normally we do have three dogs. But now
in a turn of events.
Yesterday, Sophie and our dad were on their way, you know, somewhere.
On an intrepid journey.
And they found a dog. And something in their minds was like, yeah, we should just, like, take the dog.
It was like a dog that wasn't, you know, obviously having a home or a person.
You know, it was by itself.
We did not know.
Yeah,
they didn't
just see a dog on a leash and they were like, yes.
It had a flea collar, but it did not have a person, so yeah.
Yeah, so now it's our house.
We have a dog in our house.
And they named it Molly, and I don't like that name.
On Monday, if they can't find any wanted posters.
Yes, but they named it Molly, and I don't like that name. But at first I was thinking, like, what would be a good Harry Potter-related name? I just realized that Molly is a Harry Potter-related name. But if you were going to name your dog something more Harry Potter related than Molly, because, like...
Why should it be Harry Potter related?
Well, let's just say you were going to. Because let's make it relevant, you know, to the podcast. You got a dog.
I have the worst dog. What if we named the dog Karen?
How about no?
It's a pretty good dog name.
Let's come up with a good Harry Potter related dog name. I know that people will name their dog, like, Lupin or...
Tilly. Not a Harry Potter name, but it's a name.
That is a horrible dog name. But yeah, I'm trying to think of, like, what a good Harry Potter related dog name would be. And it doesn't seem like there are a lot of, well, actually there's a lot of options, because you could basically do any Harry Potter name on planet Earth. Hermione, Ron, you know. I'm just going to start listing every single character on God's green earth in Harry Potter. Okay, so it's time to start, but seriously, Vaughn, you need to answer my question.
Yes.
What would you name this dog in a Harry Potter context? Also,
okay.
If you were going to give it a Harry Potter related name.
Jaquavius Grindelwald the III.
Jaquavius? Is that a real thing, or did you just make it up?
I mean, I think a person at my school was named Jaquavius.
Vaughn's like, okay, it came to me in a dream.
But,
oh my gosh.
I'm pretty sure Jaquavius is a real name. So we have to throw in Harry Potter somewhere. So Grindelwald.
Right. Grindelwald.
The third.
I would name my dog Grindelwald. You would name yours Dumbledore.
No, Jaquavius.
Alright then. Okay, so first sentence of the... Wait, I didn't say what I would name mine. I would name mine Albus. I think that would be a cute
Albus
name.
Jaquavius Wolfric Brian Dumbledore.
Yes. Yeah, all right. First sentence. Harry awoke at 5:30 the next morning as abruptly and completely as if somebody had yelled in his ear.
Ooh. That's a nice wake up.
That is a good wake up, I think. Right? I've never woken up to someone yelling in my ear. I have, however, woken up to a dog hovering near my face.
I've had a dog lick me awake.
Really?
Sometimes.
Which one?
Penny. She used to lick my face until I woke up.
Yeah, I would freak out if a dog did that to me. I would literally freak out. But Harry got dressed and went downstairs where he met Mr. and Mrs. Weasley, Sirius, Lupin, and Tonks in the kitchen. Which, like, why are they all up that early in the morning? I don't know.
Well, how early in the morning is
How early do you wake up, Vaughn?
You know this.
The listeners don't.
The listeners don't, do they? Well, listeners, I wake up about 5:20.
Why do you do that to yourself?
Because it helps me get started for the day. Because if I didn't wake up at 5:20 in the morning, then if I woke up at 6 o'clock, I would go to school at 7, feeling like I would at 6 o'clock.
That was very confusing. Can you just say, give like a more simple answer? like pretend I'm a 2-year-old. I'm a kindergartner.
2-year-old, okay. Which one?
Two-year-old or kindergartner?
Okay, because that's a major difference.
Okay, yeah, right.
An extra hour of waking up gives me more refresh.
Okay, I got it.
No, sleepy.
Okay, so you would be less tired if you woke up more, like, yes, earlier. How many hours of sleep would you say you get? What time do you go to bed,
Vaughn? 7 hours to 8 hours.
7 to 8 hours. What time do you go to bed, Vaughn?
10.
10? What's 10 to 5?
It's 7 hours.
Okay.
And then 7 hours, 20 minutes.
Okay. So, you know what? I'm on board with that. That's fine. That's a good amount of sleep. I go to bed at 10, 10:30, 11. Last night it was 11:30.
It was 11:30 for me too. But on weekends it's always different.
Both of us were in bed at 11. I did not fall asleep till 11:30. And then I normally wake up at 6:30, so do the math, that's probably like 8 hours. Yeah. So Mrs. Weasley made toast for Harry and he sat down at the table. Lupin asked Tonks to continue what she was saying about Scrimgeour. Scrimgeour is the future minister for magic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Rufius, that's his name.
Rufus.
Rufus or Rufius?
Rufus.
Okay.
It's like a dog.
Like a dog, yeah. Tonks said that he had been asking her and Kingsley funny questions. Molly sat next to Harry and tried to smooth the creases out of the shoulders of his shirt. Mr. Weasley was dressed in muggle clothes. He asked Harry how he was feeling. Harry shrugged, and Mr. Weasley said it would all be over soon.
Wait, what do wizards wear that's different from muggles?
Right. They wear robes. In the movie.
Only robes?
Yeah. In the movies, though, that's where they kind of screw you up.
Because... Wait, all wizards wear is robes.
Yes.
24/7.
Yes.
That makes no sense.
Why not? Like, why?
Why not? Why wear robes only?
Because it's what they wear. They probably wear clothes under it.
But why?
Because they're wizards. The movies are the, what I'm saying, the movies kind of screw you over with this because they have the cast wear muggle clothing basically the entire time, even at Hogwarts. Like, these students are in at Hogwarts wearing muggle clothes with no robes on, and they literally only wear hats. What, the first movie or the first and the second
movie?
Yeah,
they only have the pointed hats. It makes no sense why they wear the pointed hats.
It's just, it's on the, I actually reread
it. Oh, I was like, wizarding outfit. It doesn't even block the sun.
Well, it's just like a wizard thing. It's just like, hey, they're wizards, wear a hat. You know, but also you're in really cold, like what, Scotland, I think Hogwarts is in. And Scotland is cold. Scotland be cold. Okay, and did you know that, Vaughn, you lose heat through your head and through your feet?
You do.
So if you're wearing a hat.
Well, that's what your head of hair is for.
True, but like, what if you're a dude? A dude with short hair, specifically. And
Daisy, your long hair, like down here, isn't going to protect your head.
Well, it's protecting my neck.
Your head loses heat, not your neck. Didn't you just say that?
Yes, but let's extend what I said to the neck.
You're hurting my brain.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Moving on. He explained that Amelia Bones would be the one questioning him at his hearing. Tonks said that she was fair and would listen to Harry. Sirius told Harry that he needed to be polite, he needed to stick to the facts, and not lose his temper. Lupin told Harry that the law was on his side. Mr. Weasley said it was time to go. Everyone said goodbye to Harry and wished him luck. He and Mr. Weasley left the house and began walking to the underground.
What's the underground?
It's like their train system, like the tube. That's what basically
the tube.
Tube is. We don't live in, you know, England. So what I'm curious about is, like, do they frequently take the tube places? Like, do you think that...
The tube.
Like, rather than having a car, they take the underground? I imagine if you live in London, you probably don't own a car because our aunt lives in LA and just does not own a car because it's easier. Well, so I imagine it's probably the same in London, right?
Yeah.
Harry bought their tickets and they boarded the train to London. When they got to London, they got off the train and walked down a side road. Mr. Weasley said that he had never been in the visitor's entrance before. They walked into a telephone booth and Mr. Weasley dialed a number. I think it's 6-2-4-2-2-2-9. It's
6-2-4-2. I don't know that number.
I think. I don't know if there's any significance to that number, but
that one guy with that number still receiving calls.
Can't have a phone number that's that short.
Well, what kind of
number? It's like 6-2-4-2-2.
Interesting. Maybe phone numbers are different in London, in England.
I don't think so. Because maybe. They're on the same, I'm pretty sure they have the same, like, providers as us, like T-Mobile and Spectrum.
But what if maybe?
No. But yeah.
Yes.
A voice asked them to state their names and business. Mr. Weasley stated his name, the department he worked in, and that he was escorting Harry Potter for a disciplinary hearing. A badge appeared in the coin return that said Harry Potter disciplinary hearing. Harry pinned it on, and the telephone box began to sink underground. That'd be, like, a little bit embarrassing. Like, you're just walking through the ministry, and literally everyone is seeing your badge. Like, oh, that's the kid to watch out for.
Don't have the disciplinary hearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonder what shenanigans he's been getting up to.
Yeah. And the door opened of the telephone booth, and they stepped into a hall with a blue ceiling that had golden symbols on it, which... This description in the book is very different than how it looks in the movie, because I don't remember what the ceiling looks like in the movie, but I know that it's, like, huge, and it's all mostly green. Like, that seems like the predominant color. I think there were fireplaces set into the wooden walls, and every few seconds, a witch or wizard would appear from one, and there were, like, lines of wizards queued up to leave through the flu network. Maybe they had night duty. I don't know. Mr. Weasley and Harry joined the crowds of people heading into the ministry. There was a large fountain in the hall, which had a sign stating that all money in the fountain would go to St. Mungo's. Harry thought that if he wasn't expelled from Hogwarts, he would put in 10 galleons. They walked over to security, where they scanned Harry's wand to make sure that he was actually Harry Potter. Mr. Weasley said thank you, and they walked through the golden gates to enter the ministry. They entered a lift with many other people and stopped at several floors to let people off.
Wait a minute. Go on.
Okay.
So what kind of economy is the wizards based on?
Galleons?
Capitalist?
I don't know.
What kind of economy is the British economy?
They're capitalist.
Because if this is a capitalist economy, then the government seems to be violating some rules here.
How?
With the St. Mungo's.
How? Explain.
By rules of capitalism,
okay,
the people and customers decide if a business succeeds or not.
Okay.
Not the government.
Okay. It's just a donation thing.
The government isn't supposed to determine if a business succeeds or not.
Okay. Oh, okay, yeah. It is a little bit weird because St. Mungo's is just one hospital. Like, do they literally have one wizarding hospital?
Do they? And, like, is this a charity hospital or is this, like, an average hospital?
I think it's an average hospital, but here's the deal. I don't know how it works in
so it's the focused on world. Making a profit.
I don't know how it works in the wizarding world, but in England, they are on a national healthcare system. So if it's the same in the wizarding world, then that checks out.
Then if it's a national healthcare system, then why would the people be needing to donate when the government is pouring money into the healthcare system?
I don't know.
They're infinite money.
I don't know.
Nearly infinite money.
I never thought about that before. Infinite money until now. No, not really infinite, but...
How much exactly does the government have?
Good question. I would not be able to answer that for you. Yeah.
Strange. Alright, they went down levels as wizards and witches left the elevator in purple envelopes with wings left and entered. Mr. Weasley said the envelopes were memos. They stepped on a floor named the Department of Magical Law Enforcement, and Mr. Weasley, Mr. Weasley said that before they had the memos, they used to have owls flying around the office, but it would be terrible because they would poop everywhere.
Oh gosh.
First of all, who's in an account for this? And second of all, it must have been, like, a nightmare to be stuck in, like, an elevator with a million owls going from floor to floor.
That would actually be really scary. Like, they're all just flying around, and you're like, have you seen that movie? I think it's called The Birds.
Yeah. I've seen clips.
That one, that's what I imagine it would be like. There would be, like, you'd just be, like, screaming, and there'd be, like, and no one can help you now.
Can't see anything. Mr. Weasley greeted Kingsley in the Auror's office, and they went to a cubicle covered with images of Sirius Black. Kingsley said that he wanted a report on flying Muggle vehicles, as Black was seen riding a motorcycle and then handed Harry a newspaper. He whispered to Harry to give it to Sirius. They entered Arthur's cramped...
Where's Harry going to put that when he's in the middle of his hearing? Like, he's just going to sit on it, like, oh, this is just for later. You know, just a
I
bit
think
of,
Harry hands it off to Arthur.
Oh, he does. Okay, that makes sense.
They entered Arthur's cramped office and waited. And, like, so the description is so... Like, the walls are lined with cabinet files.
Okay.
It's so unorganized. Half the stuff is piled on top of the cabinets, and then there's two desks, some are squashed in there.
It's kind of like a closet, like a coat closet. Like,
yeah, smaller than a closet.
Yeah, he still loves his job, like, more than anything. Yeah, but, like,
he could be a little bit more organized.
Yeah, well.
A memo flew into the office, and Arthur read it. It said that Arthur was needed to help fix a regurgitating toilet.
That's different.
Then Arthur started explaining how, like, anti-Muggle, like, kids were, like, bewitching toilets to do the opposite of flushing. So Muggles were called plumbers who couldn't fix it, which is quite fun. What would you do if your toilet did that?
I would freak out, call a plumber. If they couldn't do anything, I would cry and then move.
Interesting. An exhausting wizard party.
What would you do? You say interesting like you have a different plan. Like, nah, I would just keep using it, yeah. I'd just live like that.
No, I would actually build mechanisms. That way, when it, I, I would, that way it would launch. When I would back away, flush it, then it would, I would launch it, and then, like, the way when it was launched, it would curve into an arc and go down a pipe on the end of the room.
Oh, okay. So it would, like, go into fly the plumbing into, system. Okay.
Yeah, it would, like, catapult into
so the... you would be a library, and you would
make I would be smart about it.
Okay.
I wouldn't have to move, but I would never be able to sell my house because of the gaping hole in the bathroom.
That's true, yeah.
Or just destroy the toilet. Steal off the bathroom.
Yeah, see, this is no longer usable. Wait, you know Dumb and Dumber when they go in and he uses the bathroom and she's like, oh, like, you know, that toilet doesn't work. Don't use it. You know that?
Oh, no.
Oh my gosh, that would be it. Like, they would go in to use the bathroom. You're like, oh, don't use it. And then they would flush it. And it would, yeah. Need I say more?
Interesting. An exhausted wizard barged in and told Arthur that the hearing time and location had been changed to 8 a.m. and in courtroom 10. Harry and Arthur began sprinting to the elevator.
Can they even do that? Like, what if you were going to be late? Like,
they did it deliberately.
Oh, they did?
I mean, I think it was deliberate because on the way, Arthur is like, Arthur's like, courtroom 10 hasn't been used in years. And it's, like, so far below. Like, it's, like, below the Department of Mysteries, which is, like, the lowest floor.
So it's, like, they really just were, like, we really don't want to have to deal with Harry.
Yeah,
so
and, like, and like... Arthur also comments that they were lucky they had been there so early. Because if they'd gotten there later, like, maybe, like, an hour later, because, like, their hearing wasn't until later.
Yeah.
They would have completely missed it. They would have been completely screwed over.
Yeah.
Arthur said that the courtrooms, including courtroom 10, hadn't been used in years. They went down to the Department of Mysteries floor and then took a flight of stairs down because the lift didn't go down far enough. They ran along more corridors until they arrived at courtroom 10. Arthur pointed at it and told Harry to enter. Last sentence. He swallowed hard, turned the heavy iron door handle, and stepped into the courtroom.
All right. Okay, so
18 minutes.
That is it for the chapter. Now we're going to be right back and we're going to move on to our analysis.
I love magic.
All right, welcome back. So we are going to be talking about, for our analysis, we're going to be talking about Mucuza. And yeah, so we're going to talk about Mucuza. So Mucuza is the American Ministry of Magic. And you see it in the Fantastic Beasts movies. It's where... Theseus is the head at Mucuza, and I think it's in The Crimes of Grindelwald. That's where we start out, is Mucuza. Newt's there, too. Because isn't Newt restricted from...
Isn't it even in the first one?
Is it?
Yeah, it's in the first one.
When? Do you remember, like, when? Oh, because Tina works there.
Yeah.
Okay, and then the second one.
What happens in Crabs
and Grindelwald? It starts with Mikuza.
But then it leaves.
And then you leave. Because I think
then they go to France.
Newt was restricted from traveling. Do you remember that he had a travel ban?
Yeah.
Because of, like, everything. And so he goes there to, like, get it lifted. And that's when we find out, like, Theseus is an Auror there. And, yeah.
Should we begin?
Yeah, so it stands for the Magical Congress of the United States of America. And it was created in 1693. The question is, was it called Mikuza in 1693? Because in 1693, the United States was not a thing. So, that's a big question mark. Yeah, I have no idea. Like, fact check that?
Okay, that's weird. Yeah. Okay, maybe it was in 1963, wizards settled that land.
1693.
In 1693, maybe wizards settled that land. Earlier, settled that land.
And then
earlier than, like, the Europeans.
The Amish.
Yeah. All of them.
I don't know, I'm thinking Amish.
And all of them. But then the British came.
Yeah.
And then the entire revolution happens, and then the wizards...
And the wizards are left standing, baby.
No. So the wizards are there, living there.
Yeah.
In their magical communities.
Yeah.
Then the British come.
Yes.
Then they establish their communities, and so the wizards sort of integrate themselves with, like, their hidden society on top. Like,
right.
Like, it's a hidden layer on top.
And they add United States of America to the...
Because the new place is now the United States of America.
And, we're just kind of reading off the article because I did not take notes for this. So
next week, we're going to have some quality episodes.
Yeah, we might even have a video on next week.
A new video using,
like, an actual
Anchor's new feature.
So basically, if you go to Spotify and you listen to a podcast that has a video, you can watch the video on Spotify. I don't know if we'll put it on YouTube. But at least to start, we're going to do it on Spotify. So yeah. Download Spotify if you don't have it yet. And the, basically, they decided to form it after the introduction of the International Statute of Wizarding Secrecy, because that was right after the Salem Witch Trials. Which brings me to, okay, you know the Second Salemers?
Yeah.
We talked about this, like, recently, but I literally love the Second Salemers.
It's a really cool name.
It's so smart to, like, kind of build off of the First Salem Witch Trials and be like, yeah, these are the Second Salemers.
But then it just really implies that you're crazy.
Yeah, that's true. But still, I think it's interesting, especially because it's, like, the whole dynamic with her being, like, a foster parent and kind of, like,
but, like, an evil.
Yeah, like, an evil foster parent.
Yeah, it's like if a cult. It was, like, a foster home.
It kind of is a cult, in a way.
Yeah.
Except for, like, all of her followers are just, like, her kids, which is weird, but it's true.
It's, like, in a sense, you're not really adopting the child. You're just forcing them to become a follower by law.
Yeah. And so, what else do we have?
Mikuza was modeled based on the existing system in Britain. The wizard was based on the Wizards Council of Great Britain, which was apparently before the Mystery of Magic. I didn't know there was something before that.
I didn't either.
It was,
Mikuza was created to make laws, that both policed and protected American wizard kind. And their second great law enforcement challenge was the number of wizarding criminals who had fled to America from Europe and beyond because they didn't have organized law enforcement in America.
Wild Wizarding West.
Yeah, basically.
The first president of Mikuza was Josiah Jackson, a warlike wizard who was voted to his post by his fellow representatives because he was considered tough enough to deal with the difficulties of the post-Salem Witch Trials era.
Interesting. And where are we now? Law enforcement. Now we're in law enforcement.
The president's first priority was to train Aurors due to the rampant crime going on in that wizarding wild west.
But how would a wild west in wizarding world, like, look like? I just can't even imagine. What would they be traveling on? Would they be flying around in broomsticks?
Magical horses.
Broomsticks seems more likely.
Yes.
Yes. And they would fly around on broomsticks and, like, I guess shoot places up with wands.
Avada Kedavra.
Avada Kedavra. Avada Kedavra. And, like, gangs.
This is a robbery.
Shoot sparks. Basically, yeah. And so they basically had 12, a few volunteers to train as orers.
12 orers.
A few dozen.
To cover the entire country.
And the original 12 of them were Wilhelm Fischer, Theodard Fontaine.
Daisy.
What are
these
names?
Daisy, when you say Wilhelm, I need you to go into the episode and add in a Wilhelm scream.
Wilhelm?
A Wilhelm scream.
What is a Wilhelm scream?
You know the Star Wars scream?
Yeah. No.
Oh, it's called a Wilhelm scream.
Gandalfus Graves, as in, like,
Graves.
The Graves?
Is it the Graves?
I think it might be the Graves.
Maybe he's just a descendant. Maybe Graves is just a descendant.
No, yeah, for sure. Robert Grimsditch, Mary Jauncey, Carlos Lopez, Mungo McDuff, the Mungo, St. Mungo, Cormac O'Brien, which sounds very similar to Conan O'Brien, but Abraham Potter, so we have a Potter in there. Berthild Roche, Helmet Wise. See, what are these names? And Charity Wilkinson.
Charity. Okay, of these 12, only two survived into old age. Charity Wilkinson, who had become Mukasa's third president, and Theodore Fontaine, whose direct descendant, Gilbert, is the present today headmaster of Ilvermorny School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
Gandalfus Graves, who we talked about. His family remains influential in American wizarding politics, which we know because of, what's his face?
I don't know his name.
I forgot his first name. And Abraham Potter, whose distant relationship to the famous Harry Potter would be uncovered by eager genealogists centuries later.
What really sucks is just Graves. He was just completely forgotten because Grindelwald just murdered him and took on his body.
Oh my gosh, yeah, basically. Well, I mean, unless he took him and, like,
there's no saying of what happened to him. I'm sure he was murdered.
Because did he do his face swapping stuff or did he use polyjuice potion?
Wait, what do you mean face swapping stuff?
You know how in Crimes of Grindelwald he changes his face to be like that one guy?
Wait, what?
In Crimes of Grindelwald, the way that
I thought that was a polyjuice. Well, how did he do that?
He did some sort of weird face swapping thing.
Yeah, but they never explained how.
I know.
It was a mysterious spell.
It wasn't polyjuice potion, though.
Could have been.
Initially, an enchanted edifice was created in the Appalachian Mountains as Makuza headquarters. Kind of similar to, I imagine, what, like, Grindelwald's base looks like. And over time, this became inconvenient because it was remote. And so they began to congregate in cities, which was where Makuza was relocated to Williamsburg, Virginia.
Interesting. Home of the flamboyant President Thornton Harkaway.
What are these names? I've never heard
Thornton
American
Harkaway.
Name.
Thornton Harkaway. Well, these are 1760. This is 1760.
I know, but still, like, I don't know.
I guess
wizard names normally are pretty weird compared to muggle names, right? Where are we?
Okay, Makuza relocates to Baltimore, where President Abel Fleming,
but Abel is spelt weird. Like, I'm able to do that.
Yeah, and then Fleming.
That's a name.
Fleming's,
like, a restaurant.
But the outbreak of the Revolutionary War, followed by the arrival of the Nomad Congress in the city, made Makuza understandably nervous, and then he departed for what is known as Washington. It was there that President Elizabeth McGillicuddy, presided over the infamous Country or Kind debate of 1777. Thousands of wizards and witches from all over America descended upon Makuza to attend this extraordinary meeting, for which the great meeting chamber had to be magically enlarged. The issue for discussion was, did the magical community owe their highest allegiance to the country in which they had made their homes, or to the global underground wizarding community? Were they morally obliged to join American nomads in their fight for liberation from the British Muggles, or was this, simply put, not their fight? That's really interesting, because are they fighting for the Muggles that they're hiding from, or are they fighting for magic, for just wizard kind?
Ooh, I feel like the Muggles are hiding from.
That would be crazy, like a wizarding war, not necessarily like a wizard-Muggle war, but like a war between different wizarding nations.
Oh,
I'm surprised that that's never ever happened.
Well, that's true.
This like it doesn't seem like that's ever happened in history.
Well, because I think like in reality, like why would it happen? Like what would be the conflicting ideals?
Why does any war happen? It's just because you add magic.
Because it's their territory.
But in magic, you're just adding a much more powerful and volatile weapon.
Because it's
you think a war would happen more often. It's really weird.
Because it's not like wizards own the United States of America, where wizards are like, oh, we're going to go to war with Great Britain because we want to take their territory. Wizards are basically assimilating into Muggle society.
But like, say the Salemers hadn't happened and wizards weren't judged. It's so weird that a war has never broken out between wizards.
Yeah.
And, like, it'd be crazy if a war did break out. That'd be really cool.
Yeah. One of the most significant American magical laws was created in 1790 when Macuza approved an edict to enforce total segregation of the wizarding and no-match communities, which is called Rappaport's Law, named after the then-president Emily Rappaport.
I like that last name, Rappaport.
Yeah, it's interesting. So, with the passing of Rappaport's laws, intermarriage and even friendship between wizards and nomads became illegal in the United States, which is, I assume, why, like, their whole relationship with Jacob is so dangerous.
Yeah.
I wish they had delved into that danger a little bit more in the movies. Like, it is really dangerous for them
to be
talking.
Like, they could have explained it more.
Yeah. Like, the exact, like, stakes of them talking to Jacob is, like, they shouldn't be talking to him at all. He should not know anything. So wizards infiltrated the construction team of a new building in New York, and it was called Woolworth Building, and it could house both nomadges, and it could also be transformed into a space for wizards. The only outer mark of Makuza's new secret location was the owl carved over the entrance. And so now we are at Makuza in the 1920s.
As with most other magical governing bodies, the Department of Magical Law Enforcement is the largest department in Makuza. Why the Department of Magical Law Enforcement?
I don't know.
Maybe just because it's easier to commit crimes.
Right, yeah.
Rappaport's Law was still in operation in the 1920s, and several offices in Makuza had no counterpart in the Ministry of Magic. For example, a subdivision dealing with nomad fraternization and an office issuing and verifying wand permits, which everyone citizen and visitor was supposed to carry within the states. Wait, what?
Oh, they had to carry a wand permit? Kind of like a gun permit?
Oh, I get it. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. That'd be terrible, like, to get your wand revoked. The very thing that makes you a wizard.
Literally, yeah. They'd have to figure out how to do wandless magic.
You'd be, like, essentially ousted from society.
They'd have to do wandless magic.
They could figure it out, but, like, goodness, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
A significant difference between the wizarding governments of the United States and UK of this time was a penalty for serious crime. Whereas British witches and wizards were sent to Azkaban, the worst criminals in America were executed. And it's, like, cruel the way they killed them.
And
they forced them to commit suicide.
Where? Who?
Makuza.
Oh, they did. Yeah, Newt and Tina, huh?
Like, where they place them over this, like, giant, like, pool of, like, stuff that will kill you if you touch it. And then, like, on the water, they display images of, like, things they love to make them jump in.
Oh, gosh.
It's, like, it's terrible the way they do it. They force them to kill themselves.
Yeah.
In the 1920s, the Department of Makuza was the president of Makuza was Serafina Bakary from Savannah. The Department of Magical Law Enforcement was headed by Percival Graves.
There
we go. A well-respected descendant of one of the original 12 American Orders.
Very soon after. Okay, so that is our analysis on Makuza. Next week, we're going to have a good
quality
episode.
Content.
We're going to have quality content coming up because we have a lot of ideas, and we're going to actually, like, start putting those ideas in motion. And I'm hoping that we can, like, get, like, a nice set done. So we can, like, start doing video episodes. Like,
hopefully.
So if we don't have that next week, we will soon. I have a lot of ideas for that. I'm very excited. So, yeah. So thank you guys so much for listening. Email us at insidehogwartspod@gmail.com. If you have any ideas for any analyses you would like to see from us, like, anything, just email us, let us know. You can leave us a quick review and rating on Apple Podcasts. It would help us out a lot. And I would say check out our website, but I haven't updated it in a very long time. So I will leave saying that until next week when I have updated it. And we will see you guys next week with a good episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check back every Tuesday for another episode of Inside Hogwarts.